Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at both Saturday and Sunday. That's what I call a weekend. I don't know about you. We'll discuss Barbarians games past and present. William Truebridge, freediver, bit of a weirdo, got a book out. League World Cup's getting spicy, and Rhea Hall has some music out. But before any of that, the iPhone X or 10 or whatever the hell it is went on sale on Friday.
It seems like it's been there longer, and it's still quite a new product.
It does, yeah, it seems it's been ever present in the lives of a lot of people. You know, I was up there in 2007 when they launched it, and that was a pretty amazing phone. And so 10 years on, their anniversary phone. And to be honest, it doesn't look a heck of a lot different in real terms. It's thin, it's flat, it's shiny. And that just shows you really, I think, how we've sort of run out of space to change really in this format. It's got about as good as it can get.
Yeah, it's a phone. It has to phone. It does also have to be a camera. It has to fit in your pocket because it has to be portable. Yeah. So there are obviously finite limitations to it.
That's right. There are. And the likes of Google Glass and that have tried to take the phone completely out of that format. Nothing's really worked. But what they have delivered here is probably about as good as it gets in terms of the form factor. You know, it's got the facial recognition for the first time. It's glass on the front and the back. It's the typical usual Apple design, which is top-notch. But, you know, it's just an electronics store here in Wellington talking to customers who are looking at getting the iPhone X. And just the sticking point is the price. You know, it's an expensive phone, $1,799 for the entry-level version. And the one with more storage is going to cost $2,099. That makes it the most expensive smartphone ever on the market here.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to drop in the toilet accidentally, isn't it? Or leave on the roof of your car and then smash it on your driveway. Admittedly, it'll survive dropping in the toilet. Of course, it's more waterproof than ever before, but so are most phones these days. Anyway, look out for a new phone from Huawei this week. That's pretty cool. Just saying. Now, Gareth Edwards, a very famous try playing for the Barbarians against the All Blacks back in the 70s. He joined Mark Watson over the weekend to talk about Barbarians rugby.
Let's go back to Cardiff Arms Park, 1973. Certainly in the Northern Hemisphere, they describe it as the greatest game ever played, and certainly the try you scored, the greatest try ever scored in the game of rugby. What are your memories?
Well, maybe the fact that it's continuously we are reminded of it, whichever part of the world we're in. I think I can remember quite a bit of it. Not as vividly as we once did, but thankfully for television, even though it's all a bit grainy these days, we can still remember it. But quite honestly, we don't need film to remember it. It's an occasion which will never go from the memory. And, you know, Kirky has always sort of said, why are you guys still celebrating that game? Well, I said, but it's the biggest compliment you can have in New Zealand, because that's what it actually means to everybody. You know, whenever you beat the All Blacks, it is something to cherish. And there is no doubt that has been the case as far as that match has been concerned. For the years that have gone by, we've looked at any kind of excuse to have a reunion, a few drinks together, and to remind ourselves of what was. If it wasn't the best game in the world, and that doesn't really matter, the fact was the Barbarians had a great victory against New Zealand, and we've dined on it ever since. And I think, to boot as well, you know, the way that the game was played has probably captured the imagination of so many young players that actually took up the game because of it.
I mean, to be honest, the main reason I put Gareth Edwards into the podcast is because I just love listening to their accent. It's hilarious. It's a stupid reason, but valid, I reckon. Hey, William Truebridge also has a bit of an accent. He dives deep with no gear.
I'm right, I think, in thinking you've just had your first case of the bends.
I did, yeah. I'm actually a lot better now. I'm almost back to 100%. It was only one leg, and it was basically just numbness. The leg still worked fine. I just couldn't feel the skin.
Right.
And that slowly came back with hyperbaric chamber treatment, and now it's almost unnoticeable.
So what actually happened? You were just participating in one of your fairly regular training routines.
Mm. Yeah, it was a pretty tame training session, to be honest. Only 5 dives to 40 meters. The contributing factors would have been the ascent speed, so I was coming up with a monofin and moving fairly quickly, and the time between dives, which was only about just over 2 minutes. But it's a table that I've done many, many times before, so it's still kind of perplexing that it gave me DCS on this occasion.
It's pretty scary, I would have thought. And there will be listeners who thought you could only get the bends if you're actually inhaling oxygen once you're underwater, but that isn't the case.
No, it's more difficult to get it from freediving, but it is possible because we only have that one breath of air we take on the surface, but that still does have 80% nitrogen. And so if you go deep and deep enough and long enough, then you absorb some of that into your blood. And if you don't spend long enough on the surface, then it accumulates over dives. And then on the last dive, in this case, on the way up, the concentration of nitrogen was such that it formed bubbles on the ascent, and those bubbles go and lodge themselves in capillaries in the brain and do damage that way.
So all this time I've been thinking I've been having hangovers, but in actual fact, it sounds like I've got a case of the bends on those Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, Wednesday mornings. Let's go back to sport. I'm not sure if freediving is really a sport. It's something. I don't know what it is. But rugby league is definitely a kind of a sport, and Samoa played Tonga, and that was quite a spicy game over the weekend. Here's the commentator, Ken Laban.
How good was that, mate? Have you ever experienced a crowd in an atmosphere like that here in New Zealand?
No, I've seen it a few times in Samoa and in Fiji and in Tokyo, but nothing like that between two teams for a game in New Zealand that didn't involve a team called New Zealand, which is probably another reason why it was so extraordinary. We're talking Samoa playing Tonga, and in Hamilton, where there's not a lot of Samoan and Tongan presence. A great occasion, you know, from an economical point of view. Driving into Hamilton when I flew in yesterday, Mark, just seeing the all the fans at the hotels and motels and restaurants that had come in. They were arriving at the ground, I'm told, from 1 o'clock on for a game that didn't kick off until 7:30. The colour of the singing and the build up, that really added to what was always going to be a terrific game.
Yeah, did you see it? No, neither did I. I keep forgetting that it's on, to be honest, the Rugby League World Cup. Anyway, we're going to finish here with some Rhea Hall. She's got new music out. She joined Andrew Dickens on his Sunday Morning Cafe yesterday. Sunday morning, that's when it happens.
This is a big thing to start your album career with, your debut album, and it's a concept album.
It is a concept album, It was. I think it's a really good place to create from when you've got something that's so thematic and there's a thread that you can work towards, I suppose, when you're fleshing out what the album's going to be. I found that really interesting.
I bet. But you know, my presumption is that, especially with a voice as good as yours, you'd start with some singles, get some airplay, be on the radio, and then later in your career, you'd go, by the way, here's something even bigger. So, to go straight out with a concept album, completely in Te Reo, it's bold.
Yeah. So it's a bilingual album. It is a bold move, but I think it's timely. I think that the artistry needs to be brought back
into music making.
Yeah. And just, I'm talking to New Zealand specifically. I just think that it's a really nice time for change. And, you know, we have that with our new government, spouting about change. And
this commemoration day for the New Zealand Wars, which
exactly.
was the only wars ever fought on our soil with, thousands dead and 20,000 Imperial troops coming as well.
Mm.
It's a big story and people are only just going, oh yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Mm. It's funny. I find that quite ironic that we look overseas get a sense of what our suffering was when actually we had a whole lot of it, a whole host of it here already.
Okay, so I'm thinking that's not a light listen, that album, but anyway, if that's your cup of tea, hook into some Rhea Hall today. I am Glenn ZB with News Talk ZB. It is light listening. I think that's what I'm aiming for. The lighter, the better, really. I try to keep it trivial if I can. And I'll try and do that again for you tomorrow with more News Talk ZB. See you then.